WOL Washington, WPRS HD2 Waldorf, WKYS HD2 Washington, WMMJ HD2 Bethesda, celebrating 35 years of service to the community, where information is power.
The radio home of Tom Joyner, Al Sharpton,
Carl Nelson,
and Bev Smith.
News Talk 1450 AM, WOL, 95.9 FM.
The views and opinions of the following show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of News Talk 1450 WOL, Radio 1 Incorporated, or their management.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. This is our part two this morning, and we have with us in the studio the great Donald Temple, who is one of the greatest lawyers in the United States. I really mean that. It's true, Donald. It's definitely true. Mike, right there. Donald is known for many, many cases. A lot of you know him as the lawyer in the Eddie Bauer case. He coined the term consumer racism. He is the person who stopped the use of dogs biting people in Prince George's County. He's just done a myriad of tremendous work in law in the metropolitan area. His impact is widely felt. He started many great organizations, 100 Black Men, I think it concerned Black men. Yes, he is a lecturer, a lawyer, a fantastic person. And recently he got the, what case is this? Tell me about, you came and told us about this case, I think. Yes. If you go on my website, Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell, and you look up Donald Temple, you will see the many times that he's been on Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. And I think the last time you were here, you were talking about the whistleblower case. Is this a whistleblower case? Yes. And it really is a huge, important case, the verdict against the District of Columbia, because this person talked about improper, illegal machinations that were going on, and he lost his job, got blackballed, and a whole bunch of other things. So you can definitely listen to that. It settled for $3.5 million, okay? So it's serious. He is a very serious lawyer. I asked him to come on because I heard him talking on another radio show on this station about Donald Trump and the impeachment and what's going on there. And I think, you know, since we are all citizens, we're all inhabitants of the United States, and one of the things about the U.S. that's important is to, in theory at least, we are governed by the rule of law. And that law is supposed to apply to everybody, regardless of their station in life, their money, their, you know, whatever. We are all, supposed to follow the law. So I wanted to know, because I don't know, what is the law as far as that is applicable to what's going on in the news? Why is it important, Donald, for us to know about these things, and what is it that we need to know?
I don't think we have enough time in the day to talk about the body of law that governs the various dilemmas that exist in the present presidency. But I think that we can talk about a few things. And central to that is this framework, as a backdrop, this notion of transparency and accountability in our political system.
What is that? What does that mean? Explain that to us.
That means that we don't do things in the dark. There's this sunshine context in which conversations, discussions, meetings, and the like. It's the notion that when somebody runs for president, they disclose their finances, their tax returns. It's the notion that you don't have meetings with a Putin, and you don't have an interpreter there, or you have a Russian interpreter there, or you have meetings with the Russian ambassador and no White House, and you don't have American press there. It's the emoluments clause. If you want to talk about something that our community should certainly know about, it's the emoluments clause of the Constitution that says that a president should not be profiting, so to speak, from his or her presidency.
A president should not profit from their presidency.
So a classic example is the Trump Hotel here in the District of Columbia. And not only is it a stone's throw away from the White House, that's not the issue, but as a result of Mr. Trump's presidency, and I'm dignifying him, as a result of his presidency, the business that flows that we see precisely with the hotel is one thing. It's a lot of other business potentially going on, or very likely going on, that we don't see, that inures to the president, to the Trump financial dynasty as a result of the president.
And that's why we ask that presidents give up control over their finances, because a lot of presidents have been wealthy, but you know, is that partly why?
Well, yes, that's exactly right. And in this particular situation, I mean, everybody knows that Trump had a huge press conference and retained a huge law firm, and they presented the persona that these his finances were being managed, nevertheless, by his children,
which is not,
but that it created some kind of Chinese wall that wasn't a Chinese wall, that I don't think is a Chinese wall at all. I think that this very incestuous, the present relationship between his financial activities, his business activities, and the government, and what's going on.
And is that why it's important for Americans to be concerned about the relationship? Because with his son and his son-in-law with Russians and so on, and anybody, any, because all of that could be inuring to their benefit some sort of way. Is that, I mean,
well, I
am I stretching here? Yeah. I mean, because I don't know this area of the law at all.
Well, I'm not an expert in this area of law. I follow it with a lot of interest because I am political. And I think that's a simplistic assessment of what's going on. For me, I mean, I'm from Philly, and North Philly, and I've traveled around, but I think there's two sides. We can look at it from an intellectual point of view. I try to simplify it. This is how I see it. I see, at first I saw Donald Trump as like a guy on the corner in New York with three-card Molly. Somebody's distracting, and he's constantly telling you, hey, here's the ace of spades, the card is constantly moving.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he used this, I think, in his political campaign to detract the larger constituency that liked him for what was really going on. I see this as a big con game. I see it as a gangster move of the highest order. And if you really pay attention, when I talk about the rule of law, this is where it gets dangerous. The rule of law becomes important because in the United States, whatever your criticisms are in this country, more than 100 people, Republican appointees, were indicted under the Reagan administration.
Wow. Wow, that's important.
I mean, so people...
So regardless.
People, regardless of status, presidents, look at Nixon, presidents...
Are subject
to the rule of law. When the rule of law dissipates, when it's eroded, that means that people do things and there are no consequences. So, for example, when you look at Russia, as we see Russia today, one of the dichotomies between Russia is that as a state... in terms of the criminal enterprise and the government are substantially intertwined.
That's what it looks like. Yeah,
it's not look. It's not look like. I will say this is that when you talk about the Russian mob and you talk about the Italian mob and you really look at what's going on, and we don't take the time to really study the landscape, but it's all. It's all coming out, and we're living out a Robert Grisham or a Ludlum novel here, in terms of what we see. So, for example, how much is Putin worth?
Nobody knows.
People in articles, if you just Google Putin's net worth, Putin is worth minimally, they say, $70 to $100 billion in
what? Maybe. Wow, that's a lot of money.
And Putin has relationships, I mean, with some, the Russian mob Think about an Al Capone without the police.
Wow, without the police.
And so in Russia, and the level of brutality and force use, if you look at the assassinations and the killings of people who get close to exposing the government or the mob, they're significant and plentiful.
Yeah. That's scary.
So to get to the point, though, the point is that when we look at this Trump thing...
So it means that the law is not being followed at all, and there are no consequences to what's happening.
In part. But the other thing is that this Russian connection is both political and potentially criminal.
So if you
follow me, when I talk about the politics, when you talk about Russia, well, you know, Russia, they influence the election with Mrs. Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
This is real. This is not a figment of our imagination. This is one big problem. But then when you start pulling, looking beneath the stone, you start following the money, then you start looking at this as being a little bit more than political. This is gangster.
Wow.
Okay, this is gangster. Trump's ascendancy and his motives and the relationship between the Russians transcend, I think, a motive to dominate American politics for politics purposes. This is about money, it's about deals, and if you follow the history, which is some I've sent to you, it's about the laundering of money and the movement of money.
Yeah, that was scary.
And then ultimately, what do mobsters want? Mobsters want to control who? The policeman, the mayor, the city council.
Yeah.
One of the fears that I think exists in the media and in the intelligence community is that the Russian mobsters and political system have basically done a micro coup on the United States government.
Yeah, that's what it's starting to look like.
And as we get
They've kind of taken over our government by manipulating and controlling the president and his people.
And I'll give you a simple example, right? So this whole thing, I'll give you two. This whole thing
that's
about
scary.
Flint as one, and the second would be Sessions. So Flint
the
is...
The top policeman is the top guys.
In a campaign situation, Flint is lying, and then Sessions is lying. Now, we don't know that. Sessions gets before the United States Senate in his confirmation hearing, and he lies.
Wow.
He lies. How do we find out he lies? The intelligence interception uncovers the conversations of the Russian ambassador reporting it back. Well, what do we think about it? You think that the Russian ambassador didn't know that his conversation would be intercepted? So if you found that he understood that it would destabilize this and create the various chess game. I do A, then somebody does B, somebody does C. Now, Sessions, and who is the attorney general, is in a dispute with the president, and he's lying, and his lie is unveiled, and so it creates this destabilization, et cetera, et cetera. The problem we have in the country, I mean, in our agenda as African people of African descent is somewhat dichotomized because we naturally, as Americans, have an interest in the country. And then the implications of this on our own community.
Yeah. Because if they're not following the law, if they feel like if the law is being undermined. If the law is being undermined, then we're all in serious trouble, regardless of what our race is, regardless.
The Flynn communications, intelligence, interception. So the U.S., then acting attorney general said, hey, guys, you got a problem with this guy. How far does it go?
Yeah.
Nobody else is what do we not know?
Yeah, that's scary. The rule of law is important. It really is. We've got to take a break, but we'll be back, and we'll talk some more about this. Please stay tuned. Please.
DMV. Are y'all ready, kids?
The clown.
The soul train, my honey.
This is real entertainment, and we love it, and we support it, and they better come every year.
Giving you what you want. Experience the universal.
fireworks and everything. That was amazing. And the motorcycles, oh my gosh, that was crazy.
Every year, the Universe Soul Circus brings entertainment from around the world.
I love those Ethiopian acrobats.
Like, oh my gosh, they get you hyped up.
Chinese acts, the soul flyers.
Yes, the Caribbean and the bone breakers, yeah.
Old school, new school, it's the best.
The Universe Soul Circus is the people circus.
Everybody wants to come.
It's not just the African-American type circus. We have all types of cultures, and I respect that.
When you come, it's just, you get more.
Don't wait. It ends this Sunday, July 23rd, at a new location, FedEx Field. Tickets available now at Ticketmaster.com.
It's the best circus ever.
Sponsored by McDonald's, deeply rooted in the community.
Are you addicted to drugs or alcohol? Even if you think you might have a problem, call this number right now for free information. 800-610-4417. That's 800-610-4417. By calling the addiction rehab specialist, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven five-star facility right now. The call is free and the information is free. 800-610-4417. The federal government says you can have up to 90 days off work for treatment. And if you have insurance through your employer, it could mean little to no cost to you. This free call is completely confidential. Seriously, pick up the phone and call us now. Our advisors are standing by. 800-610-4417. 800-610-4417. That's 800-610-4417. 800-610-4417. Addiction Rehab Specialist is a network of independent treatment centers and placement services nationwide.
The forecast today is for skin itch and irritation, because with warm weather like this comes all sorts of bug bites and rashes. The best way to be prepared? With the power of 10. Cortisone 10, the anti-itch cream that brings fast-acting, long-lasting relief. Relief that lasts 10 full hours. So let's revise that forecast, because with Cortisone 10, your day is looking a whole lot better. That's the power of 10. Cortisone 10. Use as directed.
Your voice in the nation's capital. WOL. News Talk 1450 and 95.9 FM 959.
Welcome back to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I'm your host, Attorney Ethel Mitchell. I have with me in the studio Attorney Donald Temple, and I asked him to come in to talk about what's important that we need to know as ordinary citizens about what's going on with the whole Trump and Russia matter, why it's important. What's the law with reference to the president and what's going on right now? He just finished telling us that there is a law that says that the government, or at least the president, is not supposed to benefit financially from his position as a president. So you're not supposed to be making deals to help yourself while you're in the office of the President of the United States. You're supposed to be making deals to help the country and not be so interested in making sure that your own pockets are being improved by the decisions that you make. What else is, for example, Attorney Temple, what is the law with respect to impeachment? What is a law with respect to pardon? Now the word pardon is coming up. I mean, that's really scary. It's almost like he's expecting people to be indicted and maybe even himself. And so now he's exploring whether he can pardon. I mean, what's the law when it comes to all of this?
I question it peculiarly, but probably not surprisingly, that Mr. Trump raised was whether he could pardon himself and his children. And he can. I mean, the president can pardon.
The law allows him to do that. Okay.
And the question is, it would be, what are the implications of that? I think they would be enormous. Keep in mind, this is this notion that the president of the United States may have committed, he and or people in his campaign or his presidential staff may have committed criminal offenses. And they may be intertwined with, as I pointed out earlier, political types of issues, i.e. relationships with Russians to inform or influence our election. And they may have to do with money. Always follow the money.
Yeah, I've always been told that. Follow the money and you'll find.
In this particular situation, there are questions about what's going on with his Russian dealings. There are huge questions. And the readership should take some time. For example, there's a great article in the New Republic, and it's on the Russian laundromat with Donald Trump. And it very with incredible details shows the money trails and the Trump history with the Russians and how he said he had no dealings. He has substantial dealings. Not only that, the character and backgrounds of the people with whom he had dealings. It is very, very, very suspect, which gets to the point that you have a special investigation going on. And this guy Mueller is looking at these things, and apparently with the intelligence community's cooperation, they know a lot, and a lot of this is leading to these financial dealings. So now you have a recalling by Trump saying, don't look at
my finances.
Now we go to the rule of law again. Here you have
the law says that you can.
And here you have someone looking at this who's legally empowered to do so and probably obligated to do so. And Trump says no. And now we have another legal question. Can he fire him? And he can fire him. And we've heard in the press recent discussions about him now firing Sessions, or Sessions resigning, or Mueller resigning, or getting fired. He's not going to resign, but potentially getting fired. And so you have these situations where there's other legal question of whether this is an obstruction of justice. You know? And then if he legally fires him, the justification or rationalization. So you have a law war. Because Trump is hired because he can afford privately to hire the richest, or the largest law firms to develop legal theories. And you have the government. The government is compromised because it's controlled. The legal arm of our government, which is the Justice Department, is controlled by Attorney General Sessions, who's in a compromising situation, even to the point that he's recused himself. And then you have Trump potentially and then publicly questioning the Attorney General and saying he shouldn't recuse himself, dot, dot, dot. And then you come over to the special investigation and the special prosecutor, and he says, look, I will fire him. So ultimately, you begin to move the checks and balances away, and there is no accountability. This is a problem because you start eroding the instrument of government.
Yeah.
So we have to look back historically at those implications because it's happened before in other countries. And this is a very dangerous.
Germany bothers me. It bothers me that a leader can believe in our country that he is so far above the law that he can do anything that he wants to do with no consequences. And then I hear these mouthpieces coming out, you know, saying it's okay, and trying to act as if the ordinary American understands what is going on and approves of it.
Well, you're right, and that raises a concern, particularly when you look at, I mean, one of the dilemmas that we have here is you have a political dynamic at play. You have the House and the Senate controlled by the Republican Party and the White House controlled by the Republican Party. So we have a dilemma because at this particular point in time, theoretically, anything could happen with the same party in power. And in this situation, the Republican leadership has pretty much, with very little resistance to Trump, sanctioned some of these
I'm shocked by the Republican Party.
The media need to understand why that is, because the Republican leadership is basically, it's a political dynamic where they are exploiting the Trump presidency. They know some of these problems exist, but they're compromising their political integrity, in my view, for issues like Obamacare, on the abortion type questions, and other issues of concern to their conservative agenda. And they're moving their agenda.
But even the conservatives have been compromised to me. I mean, I used to really have, I mean, it's okay to disagree. Okay, I may not like what you say or like how you think or like how you talk, but it's okay to disagree. And the conservatives used to be about too much spending, you know, and all like that, the wanting more of the rule of law and so on. But they have been co-opted, and they are being used, I think, because I don't want to believe that so many people in the United States are racist, are misogynistic, are chauvinistic, are, I don't want to believe that, okay? I believe that they have been taken advantage of by the same gangster move, if you will, and now they find themselves in a position of having possibly been used to bring, you know, foreign policy into our affairs in a way that they should be screaming their heads off.
I would.
And they are very, I'm shocked because.
I really disagree with you to some extent.
Yeah.
I think that's part true in terms of this whole Russian thing. I think then when we look at this.
Because they
whole
were the
issue,
ones that were strongly against Russia.
But when you
look used
at it,
to be.
When you look at it, that's true, and they probably still are.
I think
when
they still are.
Says, and there's a weakness of character that comes into play. You know, some of them, this is not a general type of indictment because people see it, and I think that in the coming months, the rubber will meet the road on the question of the rule of law, because this process, this investigatory process, is uncovering. First of all, let me assure you that when you have the presidential administration against both the FBI and the CIA.
Yeah, that alone.
You can't win the evidence battle because, as I pointed out earlier, they're already intercepting and they know much more than they know.
They know.
The question, too, of the administration comes into raises a lot of questions, including the president's mental health.
Yeah.
When you start with them, the people that surround them, the Bannon type people, and what that means.
Yeah.
So there's this dynamic, but you said something that I don't agree with. This question of having a comfort level with the sense that this society, that there is not a question of racism or these other attitudes about national origin or gender that is a problem. You see, because I think we do have a problem here. I think when you look at the transition, not that Obama was necessarily, in my view, totally sensitive to the black empowerment agenda, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at this issue of white supremacy, quote unquote, and the reality of the backlash to Obama, and then the notion fundamentally still in this country, because people don't know each other, our people don't, in our country don't know each other, that black people are inferior or black people are criminal or black people are not able to become, black people subject to this second-class citizenship status. There are still people who are very racist that believe, despite your progress, despite your achievement, despite your characters, despite your success, you're inferior.
Definitely there are people that believe that. I didn't mean to say that there were no people. And Steve Bannon being in the White House is an example of that. And that's frightening to me, okay? But what I'm saying is I didn't think that the majority of white people believe that. I think that we have grown as a country to the point where that was no longer the majority thinking, okay? And that's what I mean. And I still believe that that's not the majority thinking, okay? I think they were co-opted into throwing their power behind and their money behind, okay? I think they were co-opted into throwing their power behind and their money behind Steve Bannon and those others who do believe this and who are acting very aggressively to appoint judges that believe those kinds of things and get into places where they can reestablish. It's kind of like the time after Reconstruction. You know, I said this earlier, that we have to be careful because right after the Civil War, black people did very well politically, okay? And then there was this backlash that threw us into the whole segregation area, which is another 100 years, before we finally halfway got back, you know, halfway got back on track. And that's what bothers me about this, that I thought that the country had come far enough where, at least as a racial matter, the majority, there's some old white men who are not going to change, and they are still very powerful, and they are still pulling a whole lot of strings, and they are behind, you know, a lot of the politics that are going on right now. I have no doubt about that.
They're not just pulling the strings. Right. They're in the United States House, Senate,
yes,
and the White House as we speak.
And what I see is kind of a generational battle where they're hanging on by their last grasp to try and reinstate what they consider the proper balance of power, if you will.
Well, let me say, I think that we have to look at that in a different kind of way, in this way. I think that I share the hope that the country has grown, and I think that's unquestionable. I think that's true. I mean, and I think, though, the question is what do we do at this point to preserve these gains and to inform changes that have to be made in a very complex historical time? Because this administration has the government in a way that they're making decisions that have significant long-term implications, one of which you pointed out, and that is our judges throughout this country are critical because the law frames the distribution of opportunity, privileges, and rights. And the right side of the political equation understands that. So you watch the Supreme Court, the federal judiciary, and even at the state levels where governors appoint judges or they're elected, we have to turn up political volume and turn up the value side of our political and private lives. There's a values civil war going on in the United States.
And
in an era where technology and the speed of knowledge and artificial intelligence are moving very quickly, there's some things happening that we don't think about that we have to rethink.
Well, we have to rethink and we have to do something about it. We really do. When we come back, we're going to get back on to why the rule of law is so important and why it's so important for us to insist that it be followed, you know? And also, where's the Democratic Party? They are quiet. They are too quiet right now, I think. Anyway, we'll be right back. We got to take a break.
Listen Thursdays from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on News Talk 1450 and 95.9 WOL to Living Health Live with hosts Drs. Tom and Stephanie Cheney. Living Health Live is an informative half-hour show focusing on natural health that will help you take control of your life. Topics range from diabetes reversal to alternatives to surgery and painkiller-like stem cell treatment and all aspects of interactive healthcare. We welcome experts in to present the latest in alternative healthcare. Living Health Live is your show for your health. Thursdays from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on News Talk 1450 and 95.9. W-O-L.
The live recording of the TV show Grown Folks Dancing, and you are invited. Calling all line dancers from Maryland, Virginia, D.C., Delaware, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. Represent. Show off your group or steps. You can even bring your own music. You've seen the show on TV. Now be a part of it. Show your skills and just have fun. Proper attire required. No blue jeans, t-shirts, or athletic gear. Dress like grown folks and come on out. For more info, call 443-857-2771. That's 443-857-2771. It's the live recording of the TV show Grown Folks Dancing, and you are invited.
This is Moon Man. Be sure to join us for Folsom of this and every month at the American Legion located at 905 Sligo Avenue in Silver Spring, Maryland. We're hand dancing. We're line dancing. We also have dance classes. For more information, 443-857-2771. We're hang dancing. We're hang dancing.
If you've fallen behind on your taxes, you know the IRS is already coming for their money, and they'll get it, too, by garnishing your wages or maybe even taking your home or business. They call it enforced compliance, and you'd better watch out because the penalties and interest compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Solving tax issues is all they do. One call to Optima starts the process to stop the demand letters and stop aggressive collection actions. They get to work immediately, fighting to protect your assets and helping you put your tax problems behind you. The IRS writes off millions every year, and Optima knows all the ins and outs of the IRS's tax assistance programs that could save you thousands. So what are you waiting for? Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
From your corner of the block
to your corner of the world,
let your voice be heard. WOL News Talk 1450 AM, 95.9 FM, and worldwide.
WOLDCNews.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. We're having a slightly different conversation this morning, but it's a good one. It's a hot one. We have Attorney Donald Temple in the studio with us this morning, and we welcome your calls. So please feel free to call in at 1-800-450-7876. 1-800-450-7876. During the break, I asked Attorney Temple, is the president subject to criminal laws, and what is the status of, what's the law around impeachment? What are we talking about here? Because I don't know that law at all. But let me just start with a basic one. Is the president and are his, people in his family or in his circle, as well as the people that he's hired to do different things, are they all subject to our criminal laws?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Will the president be impeached? The Republican Party is not going to impeach a Republican president except under extreme circumstances where the politics of an impeachment will not harm them. Keep in mind, it's a 2018 election. The House is and the Senate are vulnerable. Now, the Senate, they're predominantly Republican seats, Democratic seats up in the 2018 election for the Senate. But the House, which is majority Republican, is also, these elections are an issue. They're not going to do anything pre-2018 to hurt themselves, and likely anything that's going to hurt a 2020 presidential election. However, the water is getting so hot on the prosecutorial and investigatory side.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start talking about investigations of Trump's daughter, his son, his son-in-law, it gets hot, and you start following the money, and then Trump raises this issue of self-pardons and partisan.
Yeah, that's strange to me.
The likelihood, if anything, what did Nixon do?
He resigned before.
Okay, if it gets so hot and they present to Trump certain options that he can't get around, then is a potential resignation. But the danger here, depending on how this thing plays out, if Trump says, before I resign and you take me out, because I can't, I'm going to do some other things along the line of the rule of law so that you can't, and I'm beyond the rule of law, that means that we're going to look at some issues that we've not seen in American political history in terms of whether or not there's even the notion of these extreme, unfathomable notions that he could say, well, I'm going to defy the courts. I'm going to defy the Congress. I'm not going to obey the rule of law. And then you have these issues. And you're seeing hints of this.
Yeah, he has
discussions with
dictatorial, autocratic ways.
These are realities. I mean, and this happened in the past. And one thing for sure that I would say to our community, of all races, of all backgrounds, don't ever take the stability of this country for granted.
That absolutely.
Nothing can't happen in this country because anything can happen. If it happened before, it can happen again. And I think that Nazi Germany is an example that people refer to. But I think Nazi Germany is instructive because it happened. And so we can't be comfortable.
And that was thought to be a civilized country that operated under the rule of law, and some kind of way it just went down this path that is.
It's a peculiar path, and I mean, you have the President of the United States and the President of Russia talking offline, off record.
Yeah, that's weird.
That you have here. It's just, and like I said, the money and the dynamics, and it's huge money. It's not hundreds of millions. It's not even hundreds of billions. There are trillions of dollars that are implicated here in the oil industry and other industries that we have to watch. Our people have to read and study and think and keep an open mind, but to participate, on the other hand, in the process.
Yeah, keep an open mind is, I think, important. I think the other thing that all politicians and all people, especially those who are looking out for jobs, need to be aware of is the implication, not just that he can't bring back the mining jobs in West Virginia, although he said he could. It's not even just that. It is also, for example, I read the Wall Street Journal. I get it delivered every day because I'm curious about so many things. One of the things that impressed me was there was a big article that the Chinese are now selling military drones to the rest of the world. We have lost that market, you see. When what was upsetting about the news thing that Trump spent so much time with Putin at the G20 was that our allies looking at that realized that the United States was no longer a buffer against Russia, but maybe has thrown in their marbles, so to speak, with Russia or with Putin, which means that they now need to turn to other countries, to China, to other places for their protection.
That's what I started to show off with.
And that means
gangsterism.
But what that means to the ordinary American is that the jobs that we have had that would have produce the drones that would have been created by the business that we take for granted that everybody's coming to the United States for business. And so that's how our economy works, that we have the best and the brightest and we are so far ahead. A lot of scientists are now going to other parts of the world. You know, a lot of I can't pronounce his name, but he was on Charlie Rose last night, and he was talking about how so many doctors, I think from Iran, who've done so well in this country, are doing very well in Iran too, and that they're going to the world is going on without us.
Well, the question,
and that bothers me.
To us is, who is we? Before we start saying, well, we and drones and all this and these Iranian doctors, I think that we have to move away for a minute, too, and look at who we are, because our community is part of a larger dynamic.
Yeah,
but we too
we're
still
Americans.
Need to look at our own community, because our job market, our opportunities, and the experience that we have while we are Americans is similar, but it's also fundamentally distinct. So we still have to introspect and introvest and kind of examine how we approach this. And this is a fundamental problem, because with all this stuff going on, globalism, moving out of the industrial age into the technological innovation age, and then with the things that are happening politically, what's happening in our own community? And that's a we that we need to hone into, because when it comes to jobs, when it comes to opportunities, we're in a crisis situation. And the problem there is, when you talk about leadership, what is it that we do? What is the leadership thinking? When I talk about rethinking and new thinking, what is the 21st century empowerment agenda? We're still operating on 1960 and 80 and year 2000 paradigms.
Yeah, you're right about that. But what I'm hoping, Donald, is that the young people, the 30 and the 26 and the 40-year-olds and all like that, that's where our leadership is coming from. That's where, hopefully, they are out there making their money, making their stake coming from. That's where, hopefully, They are out there making their money, making their statements, using social media and so on like that. I hope they know that they cannot wait for the leaders that we had before. Because even our leaders have been significantly quiet, shall we say.
I agree
with
you.
You know, nobody has said anything. It's like the Democrats have been missing in action for almost 8 years, except for, you know, Nancy is good about holding the vote thing together. But other than that, we've heard nothing at all. There have been no new leadership that I've seen. No, I mean, who are the young upstarts? Who are the young people that are leading us? And I think we have to look in our community and see who's coming. And I encourage young people to step up to the plate. Learn from the old, but make your own way and start, you know, make your connections, make your whatever, get out, get people to vote, use those social media platforms, and make your own money, do your own business.
I think that's good thematically, but I think it's much deeper than that. And I want to go back to a 1934 speech that Charles Hamilton Houston gave to the Philadelphia YWCA. In 34, he's criticizing the way that black people were thinking in the early part of last century. Here we are, the same themes that he challenged, the same problems that he identified, the same problems that he challenged exist today. I think that it's deeper than that. I don't think that there should be young versus old and that kind of thing.
No, I don't mean versus.
But I think that we need to find models, structures, paradigms, systems that integrate thinking, that integrate experiences, that show us how. Because I think that one of the problems that we have is the buy-in to the status quo, the emulation of the dominant culture models, the notion
that
we can survive, that we can...
We have to make our own. In
this economic system, we have to find collaborative models that bring people together in a cooperative kind of way, in a social entrepreneurial kind of way, where we move away from the me-isms, the individualisms, that I got my car, I got my house. If I had my car, my house, and my education, I wouldn't be on this talk show. I'd be just kicking back, enjoying what I have. What's critical is that in a historical context, and I celebrate you for this reason, in a historical context, it's about rethinking our models.
Always.
And we have young,
we have to create, we really have smart people.
In the technological context, in the legal context, with MBAs and technology, who can come together celebrating this notion of empowerment. I celebrate the Black Lives Matter movement.
Absolutely.
Because it didn't start with these young people. It started with those brothers and sisters, those enslaved brothers and sisters coming off of the African continent, that resistance. This resistance is historical. What we have to do is take it and look at 2020 and focus out to 2075 and 2150 and say, hey, how do we do it?
How we're gonna, and what are we going to be doing?
And then
do it.
And then execute and not put over all of our eggs in politics alone.
Nobody Absolutely. I totally agree with
put
that.
Put half a dozen of the eggs in the politics basket. Mm-hmm. Put another half
Make
a dozen
Make some serious
of eggs
money and you can buy the politics you want, you know? Yeah. Anyway, we'll be right back, okay? We have to take another break.
Are you being denied credit or paying high interest rates because of a bad credit score? Now you can get the credit score you need to get the things you want, from credit cards to a new car or a new home. And all it takes is just one call to the Credit Lifeline. Our proven process can remove late payments, charge-offs, even collections, liens, and bankruptcies that are destroying your credit score. Imagine watching your credit score soar and never being denied credit again. We've helped thousands restore their credit and boost their credit scores to get the things they could only dream about. And we can do it for you. No matter how bad your credit score, we can help raise it fast. And with our online tracking system, you can monitor your credit improvement daily. Rescue your credit now and call 800-637-3854. There's no long-term contracts and no big upfront fees. Less than $20 gets you started back to a great credit score. For your free evaluation, call 800-637-3854. 800-637-3854. 800-637-3854.
Are you addicted to drugs or alcohol? Even if you think you might have a problem, call this number right now for free information.
800-610-4417. That's 800-610-4417. By calling the Addiction Rehab Specialist, you're taking the first steps to recovery. Their advisors are ready to match you with a proven five-star facility right now. A call is free and the information is free. 800-610-4417. The federal government says you can have up to 90 days off work for treatment. And if you have insurance through your employer, it could mean little to no cost to you. This free call is completely confidential. Seriously, pick up the phone and call us now. Our advisors are standing by. 800-610-4417. 800-610-4417. That's 800-610-4417. 800-610-4417. Addiction Rehab Specialists is a network of independent treatment centers and placement services nationwide.
This is WOL News Talk 1450 AM and 95.9 FM.
959.
Welcome back to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. Good Lord, we only have 10 more minutes, Donald. We've been talking with Attorney Donald Temple, and he told me that he's going to do a TED Talk at Howard University on September 14th. That's exciting. That's really exciting. Yeah, congratulations. That's great. That really is. We've already posted his Charles Hamilton Houston talk that you gave, what was it about, just a few weeks ago?
It was the Charles Hamilton Houston lecture to our students from our summer law program. We run a summer law school prep institute. This is our 39th consecutive summer.
Wow, awesome.
For students on their way to law school.
On the way to law school. Very good, very good. I just asked him if he would send us the audio. We made a page about it on the website. Please go to lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com, and we have 3 years' worth of programs, over 3 years now, on that site with the audio. We're a little late with the audio because my web person with the audio has been out of town, but hopefully we'll get the past couple of weeks up this week. But for the past couple of years, we have been having these kinds of specific, not just this is more political than normal, but you know, legal conversations to empower people, because I really think that people need to know what the law is, and by doing so, you are empowered to protect yourself and to protect your family and to know what you can do and what you can't do and what it's all about. So Attorney Temple is going to send us the audio of that speech that he gave, and we're going to post that at lawtalkwithethelmitchell.com. Please go to the website, use the website, sign up to get our weekly MailChimps so that you'll know who we have coming on. I really work hard to get good, knowledgeable people on the program and to provide, you know, information about the law that's useful to you. We are just about at the end of the program, Attorney Temple. What would you like the audience to particularly take away about this whole situation? I know that you, as I, we're very concerned about the attack on the rule of law. I am particularly concerned with the playing out on the world stage of people who pretend as if, or they think that they're above the law, that they can do whatever they want to with impunity. That bothers me tremendously. Even asking if you can pardon yourself means to me that there might be something that you need to be pardoned for, and that you're going to try and get away with it. And maybe that's where he has gotten to, but I don't want to think that the country has gotten there. I just don't believe that. And
well, nothing is more sacred in our lives than our future. We work hard. We educate ourselves for the future. And that future isn't just about us. It's about our children. It's about our society. It's about the world. It's about our children's children. And there's a connection. Everything that we do is connected to that future. In this context, the politics of the country, you can't cut it off or just turn off the TV and say it's going to go away. It's not going to go away. And so what's critical is that we invest our lives and our capacity to try to make a difference, to realize that we're all, that there's something major at stake here. And on the political side of that equation, I think it's the notion that we engage, that we challenge, that we connect. There's a problem in our country, and it's a problem that we allow to proliferate. This race question, you know, fundamentally, when you look at this issue, but you look at it under the class divide, those people in cow-tunk America who are suffering economically are no different in their economic victimization and circumstance than people in Philly or New York or South Carolina.
Not at all.
There's a miss. And what bothers me is that this issue will affect these elections. And somehow or another, at the leadership level, we got to bring people together politically to really challenge, like in any country, the issues that affect people's lives. Yeah. So I think that's one of the big challenges we have. We have to read, we got to share information, and you look at this Donald Trump situation, there's a lot of information out there, and we are getting ready to have a major political explosion of enormous proportion. This investigation, this Russian issue, the Sessions issue, it is happening right in front of our eyes. And in the next 6 months to 12 months, we're going to see some things that we haven't seen. So we need to brace ourselves. On the private side, I still urge us to, you know, somebody looked in the sky one day and said, Dad, why can't I fly?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to think like, why can't black people begin to rethink our enormous capacity? We operate on the negative information. We look in the mirror, and so many of our people look in the mirror, and the glass, the mirror is broken. We see a shattered
self-image.
Yes,
we are so strong.
We have to realize,
realize it.
In that same 1934 speech, Charlie Houston praised Marcus Garvey, and he said that one of the most significant things of that era was Garvey telling black people that they were beautiful and that they could love themselves.
Yeah.
When you love yourself, you don't harm yourself.
Yeah.
You invest in yourself. So we have some things that we need to do on the private side and some strategies consistent with technology, innovation, globalism, and the notion that we have relationships. We talk about the Iran, et cetera. We always have to keep Africa centered in our thinking from a cultural, social, intellectual, political, and economic point of view. People say, I don't want to talk about Africa, da, da, da. No. If the Chinese are talking about Africa.
Oh, they're doing more than talking.
Africa, they're there.
They're doing more than talking.
And we're sitting here and we're isolated. We need to inform ourselves on that historical struggle there, the relationship between colonialism and the slavery institution here. And we need to rethink. And the young people, if anything, need to go back to that history and figure out the connection.
I understand it. Yeah. I totally agree with you on that. Definitely agree with you. But even more important than that, we really want to... Do we have a caller on the line? Oh, okay. I think we also need to keep our feet on the ground right here and register everybody to vote. Go out, watch carefully who is doing what, and show up at the polls in huge numbers, okay, so that our voices are respected. Because if you're not at the table, you are just totally ignored, which is what's happening right now. We have to, we really have to show up. And if it's ever a time to show up, it's now. So I definitely think it's true.
I want to thank you for coming here and doing the show every Saturday and trying to keep our community informed. You are a treasure.
Well, thank you. It's important. Thank you. You are, too. You are, too. You've been listening to Law Talk with Ethel Mitchell. I hope that you have enjoyed the program. We'll try and get this posted on the website very quickly. And in the meantime, stay informed on what's going on. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. It's important. It really is. And have a good week.